Hello and welcome back to Cabincast. Pecastia, I guess. I'm Oliver and I'm joined with Tom.
Hello.
Joined by Tom. And yeah, we're here to talk about Cucastia, the world that we are building for our Pathfinder campaign that will occur in the future. We are about halfway through Abomination Vaults now, coming up to that anyway. So we've still got many months. And there are some changes, quite big changes. Last time we had a whole hex map and all that. That is changing a little bit. We still have a hex map, yes. So, yeah, at the moment what we've been doing is very much a dungeon core. Abomination Vaults is a huge dungeon. And that's great, but it means that apart from Chris, who has played quite a lot of TTRPGs of varying kinds, these guys haven't had a chance to do a whole lot of RP, which is a separate side to the system that we've not really gotten to delve into too much.
I did some.
Absolutely. We've had some good moments within combat, absolutely, recently. However, those have been, you know, where we've had them, and because it's a lot of combat and not much interaction, there's been a bit, but it's all very much a dungeon delve, and those are still in the spirit of old school games where RP was less of a focus. So, with this we were trying to do something a bit different and a bit more in that vein. And the initial idea we had with the Cucastia map was cool, but that would still have been very much a hexploration game, which is like an overland dungeon crawl. Essentially, there's a bunch of hexes, and you choose to go into them, and then there's hexes within those hexes, and then there's stuff in them. Mm-hmm. To an extent, that's going to happen here.
We're beginning to get stories as well with some of the characters. Some of the characters are beginning to get a lot of stories. I've been putting a lot of effort into figuring out the story of my particular character.
Indeed. And
that's going to require more RP in general.
Absolutely. And so this is the other thing. That these guys have had these characters for almost a year, over a year now, because we had them in 5th edition. And this game's going to carry them up to level 10. And then they're starting to go up with background and character stuff. And it's like, well, Abomination Vaults isn't going to use any of this because that's not, you know, what it's for. And so we're at an interesting position where I don't quite know how we're going to translate that. And to be fair, we might not at first. We might actually have to go into this potentially with different characters and have the characters from this game as other heroes or something who come up occasionally and who maybe the stories interlink, because I don't want to get rid of everyone's ideas, but also it would kind of suck if you guys had to go back to a low level with characters you've been playing at high level.
I don't mind doing that with Laramidia. I really don't mind.
But yeah, we'll see. It's also, yeah, you could go down a different line with some of your feats and choices and stuff. There's lots of options there.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a discussion we will have down the line. Certainly not one we need to right now. But we're going down it more along the lines of, and this is still a huge generalization, but what Critical Role does, in the sense that it is going to be a lot more story focused and a lot more kind of RP focused and a lot less just a dungeon crawl. Obviously, Critical Role has episodes like that, and I also know that to some elements of the TTRPG community, Critical Role is a bit of a trigger word, but I'm purely just using it as an example for what I'm hoping to do, because I enjoy having character backstories and being able to work those into what's going on in the main plot. But at the same time, this is a new group, and I don't want to throw them into something that's that heavy all the time, and so that's why we still have the hex map element.
The other thing,
so what's yeah, go for it.
The other thing that you could do, Ollie, I know it might mess with the things of Abomination Vault, but it might be worth having a conversation and want and basically ask whether people want to level up after a certain point in the Abomination Vault and then just scale the enemies to the current level that we're at. I don't know how possible, how much work that would be. Obviously,
it would be easier in Pathfinder than in other systems, but
that's not.
But it still be difficult.
That's fine. That's just a suggestion.
Yeah. No, it's a good thought. I've got ideas. I think there are ways we can make this work, but more importantly, for now. So we're changing it up a bit. We've got this city on the edge of known civilization, as it were, called Valum, which is a city on a wall. Big wall. Not Game of Thrones big wall, but a big wall. And it is between two mountain ranges, and beyond it is the wilds. What? The borderlands. The unexplored.
The unexplored areas of Cacastia.
Of what will become known as Cacastia in the future. But for now, it's just known as the Western Rings, because over the past few years, people have explored it and drawn some rings. And kind of within each ring, you get different things. You get less scary stuff, and it gets more dangerous as you go out further, because you're further away from help and civilization, and also the stuff there's just more dangerous. It's a bit gamey. It's also a bit like lots of anime you get, where they go into the dungeon and, you know, level one of the dungeon is easier and level two is harder, like a dungeon crawl, but you know, different, because it's a hex crawl. And so that's kind of the system, the landscape and how we've changed it a bit. Because this gives us the freedom of having one large central city, which is Valum, which the players can explore and spend a lot of time with without them having to worry about going to other locations, which makes the preparations much easier, as well as players not having to worry about traveling within a bunch of cities. It's just this one place and this one location that they can come to love, hopefully, fingers crossed, if we do it well. And, you know, feel very at home. You know, they find their favorite tavern, they find their favorite shops, their favorite NPCs to interact with, all that kind of stuff. And then you can have adventures there. You can have off time there. Pathfinder does have great rules for doing just like days where you're not adventuring, you know, where you're working or when you're investigating things, you know, within a city. You can do kind of like espionage stuff in Pathfinder. There's an investigator class. There are very much things that are built for that. So it allows us to do much more in a city play rather than just adventuring out in the wilds. But then also we have out in the wilds, which has, you know, the first ring has been quite well explored. It's relatively safe. You might get some roaming monsters, some beasts, you know, some goblins, kobolds, that kind of thing. And then as you go on, you get more into the unknown. You know, less people have been out here, even less people have returned. The maps are outdated, they're old, if you can even get hold of one, because they'll be quite expensive. That's why Tom on his map he's currently doing is clouding everything, because it is unknown.
Specifically, I'm clouding everything in sort of like a that is unexplored in what will be the first ring, and then I'm merging it together so that while all of this is sort while the adventure starts, me and Ollie can then work on the first ring and then unveil it when people actually go into that first ring.
Indeed. So to reiterate some previous points as well, you might be wondering, well, isn't Tom one of your players? Isn't this going to kind of spoil stuff for him? It's going to be a long time before we play this, for a start, and also it's going to be a lot of stuff, and all the stuff that's going to pertain to the actual characters and everything like that isn't going to be in this. This is just world prep, and it is nice to have some help with that sometimes. So it's probably not going to affect things too much.
Most I'll get spoiled is on where certain locations are, but I'm not going to tell people that.
Indeed. And Tom might not even remember those anyway, so...
No.
It's all good. So what is this series, assuming that we actually managed to keep it going at a relative pace this time? Well, it's largely white noise, hopefully. It's a good thing to record for me. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the process changes and if we get some kind of thing going, some kind of structure as we proceed. And learn more about world building, because this is the most structured that I've ever done it. So it'll be interesting to see from that perspective. It might also be interesting to listen to, as we've got a stove. I hope it's, you know, somewhat interesting. If you're interested in world building stuff yourself, you might get some ideas of your own that, you know, you're welcome to use, and vice versa. But that's all it is, really. So sit back, listen to us ramble about building this world, if you want, and that's really what we've got to say. So yeah, the main things we're going to be starting with, we need to build out the city of Valum, which is like on the wall. There's this large gatehouse which is just called the gatehouse because it's the one gatehouse, and you've got to go through there to get beyond the wall. You've got to have your like adventurer license or something. Again, still working this all through.
Yeah.
Indeed, approved to get out into the wilds. If you want to go and like hunt things, maybe you can, you know, pay for a one way license, or maybe some people, you know, you just slip the right guard some money and they'll just let you pass through if you're just looking to escape. Into the beyonds, and that's naturally how there are now bandits and brigands out there. And yeah, this gatehouse is full of like guilds and places where they will buy, you know, things that you bring back. You know, some shops of particular types, treasures, but also like people who will identify things for you for a price and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff is in the gatehouse, which is many entrances, because there's a whole bunch of different streets as well. The first houses started popping up on either side of the gatehouse on the wall, so they're known as Wall Side, and then you've got South and North, depending on which side of the gatehouse they are. And then you've got the rest of the houses, which started expanding in front of the gatehouse along with the Wall Side houses. And those are three main kind of rows where, you know, transportation and things can go down. You can actually fit like wagons and carts down, which are named after like three of the great early adventurers who kind of made this place partly what it is. And that's Silver Shield Row, Truth Chaser Row, and Paragon Row. They're the names of three otherwise unknown in terms of who they actually are, adventurers who did a lot of exploring in the early years and right now are out in the wild somewhere and no one has seen in quite a while. So in terms of the timeline, again, still working this all out, but the city's kind of only sprung up over the last decade or so. The war's been here much longer. That's kind of one of those... It's been here as long as people in civilized lands remember. But at exactly what point it appeared, or if it's always been there, is hard to say. Because there are things, there are ancient structures beyond the wall. So there was clearly a civilization here once, but there hasn't been in a long time. And did they build the wall? Was the wall built to keep them out? Was the wall built to keep them in? Did they try to keep something up? Don't know. But yes, as of recent years, people have started exploring to figure out, you know, what's out there, either for interest or for adventure or for treasure or for escape from someone or, you know, the authorities or something. And that's kind of what Valum is. And yes, yeah, so, you know,
outlaws, it's necessarily being the outlaws.
Indeed. Absolutely. Because beyond the wall, you are outside the law. So there is no law. But there is within the city. There is a garrison. There is the exchange, which is a place full of all sorts of traders from within the wall, from beyond the wall. People come in here to sell things because they know certain adventurers will pay high price for products if they're going to help them. But also just kind of it's a boiling pot of all these different cultures and places. There are the gatekeepers, and they are the people who, quote unquote, own the gate. They do very well for themselves. There will be interesting characters to develop as time goes on. And then there's also the Fighter's Ring, which is a place where people can go for entertainment, where people fight monsters and fight each other, and you know, bets can be settled, and people can earn extra money if they want to fight in that kind of thing. All sorts of different, like, arena combat challenges and stuff like that. And that's most of the city in a nutshell. It's very much a place for adventurers, for traders, and for treasure hunters and treasure seekers. You will get all types there. You will get, you know, your classic kind of bandits and brigands, but most of them will be passing through and just trying to get beyond the wall. But you will, of course, get your guilds, like assassins and thieves. They'll always have some kind of presence in a large settlement like this. So they will certainly be here. But we're not going to start with the city today, Ovalon. We're going to start beyond it. So, yeah.
You just finish this second ring.
Sorry, I can edit this down later. I'm going to just rest my voice for a minute because that was a lot of talking already.
Yeah. That needs to go out a bit like that. May have to use some strategic mountains / lakes / even potentially oceans to reduce the workload in some circumstances. Something like that. That's definitely not what I wanted to do. What?
That's not gone entirely according to plan.
No. What?
What have you done?
Okay.
Did you accidentally make more cloud layers?
I think so. Yes. But that's extra confusing because I don't understand how I've done that.
Nope.
Anyway, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't mess it up like that again. Jesus. Like, I can get to these hits and... What? Okay, screw it. I'll sort that out later.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the initial cloud layer, that's all we really need for now.
Yeah.
Save that. Open. Pathfinder C1 tiles. And delete that. Biddleville tile, I need to find... Oh, no, that's Laramidia's home. What we want for today. There it is, Pathfinder mm-hmm. Tile Template. That should be in Pathfinder Tiles.
Nice. We can that's pretty cool, though.
Yep, that's Laramidia's home. I mean, I can go back to that quickly. Cool. If you want. But we do have this here.
Mm-hmm.
I assume this is still how we're going to deal with the tiles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
We'll open a second Wander Draft. Open... Cacastia, which should be now the new Cacastia. It is.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
Yeah, so which tile do we want to start in?
Well, I think it might be a good idea to start directly outside the gatehouse, so that would be this tile here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the labels, we'll call this one, like now.
Mm-hmm.
And then each one will, but actually, what we'll do, just from beyond the wall there, then each new one, that needs to go down. Whoa. That's too large. Too large.
A little bit.
I think we'll go with 50. Yeah, 50.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of these tiles will have a label at 50. So 3, 4, 5. 6. Seven, eight, nine, 10, and 11, which means we have to do 12 in total because we have to do the city of Valum and all the surrounding tiles. So 12 tiles before it's ready to go.
12 tiles before we're ready. We also need to think of some other wider lore connotations, deities, powers, and things like that. But for now, we're gonna stick with exploration.
Tile 3.
Yeah.
And we zoom in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite of zooming in. There we go.
Yeah. So each of these hex tiles that we've done, we have 23 hexes for, which is quite a few. Because you've got 5, then 4, then 5, then 4, then 5. Now, we are starting simple. This is essentially a half hex.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go from 4, 8, 13, 17, 22. That squiggle there. Those are the wall and then behind the wall.
Okay, so if I get symbols and I go to our wall stone.
Mm-hmm.
Four. Eight. I think 13 is going to be the gatehouse.
Yeah, basically.
They go.
And there we go. Now we have the wall. This is a slightly easier start. It's slightly smaller. So now the Pathfinder GM core from the Pathfinder remaster does have some rules and some ideas in subsystems regarding hexploration, which we are gonna take some key notes from. It gives you roll tables to determine the type of terrain. And stuff like that. We're not going to use that today for this part because immediately outside we are starting with planes, you know, pretty standard stuff, but it is what it is.
In that case, let me just I forgot this one doesn't have super. Planes.
Resting rings. And yeah, they're all light green colour.
That's the wrong colour. That's also the wrong colour. There we go.
There we go. That's a nice colour.
It's all on the walls. And we'll leave the hexes beyond the wall because we won't be going into them quite yet because that's where the city is.
Indeed. So where do we want to start? Do you want to start in one?
At the edge of
this hex, or
we'll start in one and go around. Obviously 13 we know was gonna be in there. Mm-hmm. Some sort of citadel. Which I can find something for quickly.
Sure.
Human. That doesn't have a citadel. No, there is one. Yeah, that, but I need... And again, apologies.
No worries.
That's Farm Village. Custom coloured towns. There we go. Something like
there
that.
We are. Yeah, so 13. Tower 13, we've got the city and the immediate outskirts of the city. There's people here, people communing about. If there's any place where there are, you know, people just probably giving out quests, they're probably here, just beyond the wall, or just within the wall. But this place is so heavily fortified that, you know, you're not going to find a lot of stuff here, encounter-wise. It's just going to be a bunch of RP, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tower 13. Outside the gatehouse.
And then we'll go from one, doing each one as we...
Yeah, go. And then we can go from one. So, one of the options that they give you beyond random terrain type is random terrain features, which you've already 20, and, you know, it can either have a landmark, a secret, a resource, or it's just kind of standard, the standard sort of design of the place, of the terrain type. So, you know, plains is plain and all that kind of stuff. So we'll use that as a rough guide as to what we're going to put where, and then we can always edit it if we get too many samey results going down the line.
You could almost create like a D100 with like different terrain types.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, they've got that through on a D20 as well, but you could certainly get more specific. And to be fair, some of the ones further out we might change to being like, you know, there might be a lake, or one might be a bit more of a forest or swampy or something, but for now we'll stick with plains. So with that all being said, we're in tile number one right now, and that is a roll of a 9, and on a 9, this hex contains some valuable resource appropriate to the terrain.
Okay, so it's plains.
So it's plains, this tile.
Cattle?
So, cattle.
Maybe, or like farm?
Farm. Yeah. So, yeah, so right now we are right outside, the wall. This is relatively safe. Perhaps in these plains with these nice places, some people have decided to head out, and you know, the grass is greener on this side of the wall than it is with all the city folk on the other side. And so there's a small farming village that has started to be set up.
I've got a name for this village.
We will want a name for the village.
Yeah, we could call it Biddlesville.
And we can call this village Biddlesville, and there we have, we've cycled it back to old Cacastia.
There we go.
So Biddlesville, and this time it's not an entire hex, it's just a smaller part of a bigger hex, which is easier because it got a bit confusing doing it like that last time. So we're starting in a better place. So yeah. It's a small farming village.
Just keep it with the houses there. Small farming village.
Yeah. Can probably make them a little bit bigger so they're a bit easier to see, but...
Like that?
Yeah, that'll do.
And do we want a name on it?
See how it looks, I guess.
I've forgotten how to spell Biddlesville.
To be fair, it's not a real word, so your dyslexia is certainly not going to... Hell bore hinder here. So far, so good. Nailed it! There we go. I've seen Tom type maybe 10 words today. I think this is the first one that has been perfectly spelled the first time and it's not real, which is quite funny. Yeah, you get a little curve in there. Very nice. So yeah, Biddlesville. Okay, so small farming village beyond the wall. What kind of farming are they doing? Is it largely crops,
plains,
or is it cattle? So plains.
Plains would it generally be more animal focused, mm-hmm, than necessarily. I mean, you're talking about like a very wild sort of area. In that type of situation, agriculture, it's gonna occur. It's going to occur, yeah, if anything, closer to the wall, and this is probably one of the closest settlements to, yeah, the wall, so there is probably a good mix of it, but I'd suspect the further away we get, and even in this place, there'd be a lot of emphasis on cattle, because cattle can be moved, it can be protected. If there's a big raid coming in, they can up their cattle and move it into the city proper,
mm-hmm,
whereas they won't be able to move their crops.
Mm-hmm.
So, a good number of cattle, with some small community farms sticking about as well.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. So, yeah, we've got
people that are perhaps, I would suggest the villagers out here are maybe even less tolerant of authority than, because you're trading safety and security, to use some Star Wars terminology, for the freedom of beyond the wall.
Yeah.
So they might have beef with the guys who run the gate, the keepers. They may distrust them, and they may only really use them if there's like a big raid of raiders or something coming in, or that. Or they might be a little more close. They might pay protection tax. That's another thing they might do.
Mm-hmm. Let's go with the Biddlesville. I like that first idea that, you know, If you're out here and you know you just need a place to stay, you want to be free, they'll welcome you in. But if you start trying to tell them what to do, or talking about the gatekeepers or anything like that, then you're going to get a lot of angry faces. Okay, so
a name can come from a gut from like a halfling called Biddles.
Yeah,
maybe runs the place, or maybe did run the place in the distant past.
Halfling, yeah. So again, like If Valum has only been here 10 years, Biddlesville's maybe been set up 8 years ago, so it's pretty new. So halfling like Biddles, halflings live quite a while, would still be alive.
Mm.
Maybe he doesn't run the place anymore, but he's still about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we going to have a river running through Biddlesville like last time? And if so, where do you want that to go?
So rivers tend to run from the mountains, right?
Yes, but we've also got a aqueduct that's almost sort of like pulled into the wall.
True.
So what I was thinking would be maybe cool is maybe the aqueduct that goes along the wall that carries water down, there might be portholes where it spills out and it becomes a river.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
So what I was thinking was maybe we get like some water, make the width nice and large so it's visible, and then have shout if this is too large, something like that.
Yeah, no, that looks good.
That end bit's a bit funny there.
Yeah, kind of runs through the hexes and up past Biddlesville.
There you go. Yeah. So you've almost got like a waterfall in between 8 and 4.
Yeah.
But we'll get that when we get to those locations. That may be what I could do. If I lower like a small bit of there. It looks nice. Like it is actually that coming off the wall.
It does. Very cool. Communication.
And I suppose the next natural question is, do we want a bridge between 1 and 2?
That is the next natural question.
Or so, do you want 6 or 7? We've got to do 2 anyway, so...
We are. Where do we want... We'll make one more note. We've got the halfling called, but all set it up, but mix of ancestries, living, and working in town. So yeah, pile number 2. What is there going to be there? What terrain feature? That is an 18, which is 10 through 20, which is simply standard, a standard representation of the terrain type, which is
just plains.
Plains. In which case, it makes sense that there's a bridge between 1 and 2.
Yep.
So we'll because have... why wouldn't there be?
Yep. So we'll go here and we'll find bridge. Bridge printable. No, bridge colored.
Uh-huh.
Simple wooden bridge. Boom.
Okay, so we'll put in there that there's a bridged tile 2.
That's slightly that way. And that's slightly up.
Sure. Perhaps actually there's a bridge and there's a cattle bridge because it's just more plain, so sometimes they take the cows
to. I mean, that bridge could very easily function as a cattle bridge. It's quite a large one.
Bridge to tile 2. Large bridge as cattle.
Whereas this is this one here is like more of a footpath bridge.
Yes.
See what I've got there. Whereas that, and that could function as cattle bridges if needs to be.
Absolutely.
Is there going to be another bridge maybe between 2 and 7?
Yeah, probably, but we'll see what happens when we get to...
Get to 7, yeah, okay.
To the tile, cool. Yeah. Okay, so... So, tile 2 is plains, cows, Biddlesville... sometimes graze here. So innately less safe than a village. You're not really going to come across any harmless encounters in the village of Biddlesville, and we're still close to the wall, so there's not likely to be many random encounters.
Yeah, maybe bandits, most likely, possibly some wild animals, but
you'd
imagine
somewhere...
if you've got herders, they'd be regularly culling stuff like wolves, and that could be a mission,
indeed.
Actually.
Yeah, exactly. So, I reckon what we have is... So, the random encounter chance flat check DC, it suggests, is that if you're in the plains, it's on a 12. So, that's... you know, fairly likely, on the roll of a d20. Mm-hmm. On a road or river, decrease the CC by 2 pieces of fire. Oh, no, so that's... when it's... well, let me just read this through to see if it's going to be low as bed or high as bed. Roll a flat check and consult the proof table or chance table. If the flat check is a success... okay, so it's rolling over, so yeah. Plains is the kind of like the usual place. So that's where it's more likely to be. So if there's a road or a river, decrease the DC by 2. So that's a good point. Just because the plains are relatively safe, it's not a small river. So if something was to be in the river further up, it could come and say hello. But that being said, I still imagine this place is relatively safe. There's not a lot going on here, so we will add random encounters DC. We're going to put it at 16 for here. And then just put wolves / other hunting beasts and bandits trying to steal cattle.
Maybe even on horses. Bandits.
True. Could be on horses.
Okay, so that's 2, 3.
Missions to protect cattle often available in Biddlesville. And yeah, that'll do for now. Not everyone of them has to have loads and loads of stuff. And so yeah, with that, we can move on to tile 3. What is it going to be? It's another 13. So we've got another plains tile, which does make sense because we are right outside the wall.
Okay, so that's just another nothing. That's another, maybe another like cattle area.
Yeah, further cattle area so that you can move them around.
It almost makes sense as well. If they're herders, they might not want to, and they're not friends with that. In ancient times, civilization sometimes took cattle as tax. Mm-hmm. So I've just got this really funny idea. Maybe the gatekeepers for the protection of Biddlesville, the people of Biddlesville don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, try to extract cattle. So what they do is they pack them off over the river, so they can't get to them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So yeah, they've only got the bridge in 2.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's 1-6, but 2-7 and 3-8, and those do not have any things like that.
Yep.
So yeah, tile 3 is more plains, there's more cows. Again, we'll come back to these later and look at them in more depth once we've got a better understanding of the whole hex. But for now, yeah. Tile 3 is more plains, there's more cows, there's more potential wolves and things hunting. But that's about all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which leads on to tile 4, which is the wall,
which is
and
a wall tile.
And the plains outside the wall, and has the waterfall.
Which
at the very
does.
Edge on the border of 4 and 8.
Indeed. So wall and plains. Has the waterfall from the wall aqueduct that forms the river. Does the river have a name?
That's a great question. I mean, the waterfall coming from the wall probably be something like the wall fall.
The wall fall.
That's actually quite funny.
Yeah.
I like that. The river itself, I mean, it flows past Biddlesville, and that's going to be the most settled area that's going to see it.
Yeah.
So maybe the Biddle Brook?
Ooh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, the Biddle Brook. And pop that between 2 and 3 maybe or something. The Biddle Brook.
Brook is spelt B-R-O-O-K, yes?
As far as I know, yes.
I'm going to check that quickly. No, not Brook from One Piece.
That's very different.
Yep, okay, that is what it's called.
Nice.
One that is fed by a stream. I mean, it's not fed by a spring, but oh well.
It's a cool name. Yeah.
It's a cool name. We need that to go the opposite. way. A bit awkward.
Yeah.
And then we'll decrease the size by a bit. And there we go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have the Biddlebrook. You put it on there with an I, not an E.
Oh, yeah, I see.
That's the Biddlebrook.
Whoops.
Which also works, but is, yeah, the Biddlebrook. Very cool. Lovely. So that concludes the first set of hexes.
Mm-hmm.
So next we have
might
hex
change the color as well
six.
To make that obvious yeah. as being.
And do a river color and a location color.
Yeah. What color? Have like nice blue.
Yeah, you want a blue that is visible.
Something like that.
Yeah, that will do.
Oh no, well, yeah. I've just realised I could record this using NVIDIA, probably.
I did think that. And maybe for part two we will, when we're a bit more prepared.
Yeah.
still figuring this all out, but yeah, next time we will certainly.
It's okay. We'll take
do that.
We'll take a screenshot so you can see what.
Yeah.
The end results, and then that can be on the video / thing.
Indeed. Okay, so tile
six.
Number six. So I'm gonna roll the terrain type here. It's likely to still be plains, but I think forest, you know, would still work.
Yeah.
As well. And to be fair, like, it could also be a bit swampy as it's next to.
Man, I have an idea
river,
if there's a forest there.
Let's find out. See, I'm kind of half using what this says. So, yeah. That's closest to forest.
That's a forest.
So tile six is a forest.
You know what we could have in that forest? Perhaps an abandoned woodcutter hut. That seems to be abandoned for no reason.
Yeah. So for reference, in our 5e portion of our game, we had I had a forest which had some woodcutters living in it. And no one had heard from them for quite a while, and they had died at some point. They
didn't
attacked.
Ask how old it was, did we?
No, they just kind of took the postum, like, sure, we'll go investigate, and it'd been there like a couple of years, and the people had been attacked by bandits or something, but no one had found out and no one had gone to check, or people who hadn't come back. And yeah, the forest that was there had the particular vines that were there had just kind of started to puppet the remains as if they were still doing the things that they were doing when they got attacked, and it was pretty creepy and pretty dark, pretty morbid, but it was very cool. However, I don't want to shot for shot repeat what we did before.
What I'm suggesting is it's just abandoned as a nod to it.
Yeah, so absolutely. So maybe we do have a little forest.
I'm also thinking this is probably going to be the main path from here to Biddlesville.
Correct. That is a good point. So you've got a bit of a wooded area.
So
which also
thinking,
keeps Biddlesville from the prying eyes of.
So it's making it sort of like a woodland trail.
Yeah.
That happens to go past that house and into tile 11, where there will be a proper road of some sort, I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Passes by an old abandoned woodcutter's
hut. If you want to make it particularly funny as well, it could be burnt. So I remember burning it.
Yeah, you did.
Put that there, and we'll get some trees. Should we do some coloured trees? I think we should do some coloured trees.
So yeah, what kind of trees?
Well, I've got this evergreen tree. I've got this deciduous, like, oaky tree. I've got, like, a birchy tree. I've got definitely not here tree.
Not definitely those ones, yeah. But yeah, so what kind of trees are in this forest? Is this like a
it depends
greenery
on the,
around forest, or
it depends on the climate and the of the sort of area. If it's warm, you'd expect sort of like a more deciduous, as opposed to a pine or like that proper pine there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably deciduous then.
Something like that. Just gentle forest. I'm maybe going to have to change the position of that hut to like
visible
there. So it's directly in the middle of the up there, and then if we continue with this, get some smaller trees here. Smaller trees there. Show where it thins out. There you go. Little forest. Still got the six visible. I'll let you roll for encounters because I need to go get some water and stuff, and I'll be right back.
Sure. So, what Tom does not know is what we'll actually put here, and if he is, it doesn't actually matter anyway, but one night every month, a strange music plays from within the forest, where there's a small circle of mushrooms that has seemed to grow in there within the day. And it's very alluring and will draw people into it. And take them elsewhere. We need to do a calendar, so we're not done that yet, but that is one thing that will happen, and that's why the hut is actually empty. So we're going to make a note of that and highlight it, because it obviously requires further work when we sort out the months. And then we will do encounters in a moment. Yeah. I wonder if there's any numbers that are particularly important to the Fae. Seven again. Seven's often important. But also nine, apparently, so we'll use nine. Circle of bright red. In the dusk, sing music can. Which will, of course, require some kind of willpower saved be drawn in. Going to highlight all of that. to remind me that we need to return to it. Now, as for encounters, this is going to be a DC 14 because it is the forest, which is a 14 anyway, and that is usually decreased on a road or a river. However, this is also very close to the water, we're going to keep it at slightly higher. And this is once again largely going to be bandits or wolves, possibly small groups of, to keep it simple, let's call it demi-humans right now, goblins, kobolds, etc. And again, we'll come up with proper encounter lists for each of these tiles between these recordings. But that is that for now. We'll wait for Tom to return. And here he comes.
And I'm back.
Very cool. Yeah, we've gone over all of that stuff.
Ooh,
so on to Devon. Okay, tile number 7. That's the wrong button. Cut. Paste that bit in there. Tile 7. What will it be in tile 7? For start, will it be plains again, or will it be more of the forest?
Yeah, don't worry about that.
You good there, Tom?
Yeah, mom came in.
No worries. Right. We're going to roll. And this is more planes again, so.
More planes.
We are back to planes now.
Maybe footbridge time.
Maybe footbridge time. Yeah. So. Yeah, maybe there's a footbridge here. Don't think there's any closer, but as you can't really have a bridge into the forest bit as easily, there's a footbridge from 2 to 7.
Okay. I'll put that. Then that kind of defeats the point of having the trail there.
Yeah. Let's not put a footbridge in. People can try and.
Maybe a ford point between 7 and 3. Let me just. Do I have anything that's good to show fording? Maybe if I get like some really small rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of these, are they going to be really visible? They're going to be basically invisible. Okay. We'll just have maybe like a note, there's like a fording point between 7 and 3.
Indeed. Okay, so. Between 7 and 3 or 7 and 2?
Seven and two would maybe not make as much sense because that would be the quickest way to get to Biddlesville.
Yeah, so 7 and
3. You want the route. So you'd want it over 7 and 3.
Cool.
Sort of as a way to get across the Biddlebrook without going to Biddlesville if, say, someone who is known for burning bridges decided to burn a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for example.
Indeed.
If you're listening to this, you know who you are. You might not do it anymore, but you know who you are.
Okay, so what is in this terrain? Yeah, to be fair, we didn't actually roll for that last time, and we did get a landmark for the forest. So yeah, we've got the little hut, so that that worked out. So yeah, this plains, we get a 9, which is another resource hex.
Maybe some of the cattle gets. Maybe we have another farm, but
another
like
farm.
A lonely farm. A singular farm.
A singular farm.
Let's see. Farm coloured. Don't want to use the same house because that'll look a bit funky.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have like a 2 farmstead there.
Yeah.
And maybe like a windmill.
A windmill.
Human
this
windmill.
Is a farm that makes grain and stuff.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, we could almost change the aesthetic between that and that. No, it doesn't look the best. I'll find something.
Yeah. Maybe so, yeah. Have... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, we've got plains, we've got a lonely farm, which is a windmill, and so they probably make flour. So I imagine they probably can trade with the wall or with Biddlesville.
They're a bit safer, they're a bit closer to the wall, so they're they're going to be a bit more happy with the wall's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Some farms.
And
a little cattle stand there as well.
Yeah.
We'll just do some funky with
number of livestock.
Oh, it's a bit too big at the moment with the It's sort of close to the river. Oh, I tell you what, instead of a windmill, water wheel.
Aha, yeah, that's a good idea.
We should make it a landmark as well, which would be cool.
Yeah.
And its farms are sort of up against the side of the river.
Yeah.
So they can see the cattle grazing on the other side of the things, and they act like a between the people of Biddlesville and Citadel. They're a lot calmer and happier. They've maybe got some lodgings.
Yes, I've written that actually. I've written that they run a small like B&B, which is only for kind of single nights. So if you're just heading out or just heading back and you've not got enough time to get to the gatehouse proper, you can spend a night there. They've got a few rooms and then they do like fresh bread in the morning and stuff like that. It's a nice little place. So, okay, in which case we need a name for that farm and for the family or people who run it.
Ooh.
It's a lonely farm, it's got a water wheel, makes flour and therefore makes bread.
It was Brook Farm?
It could just be Biddlesbrook Farm.
I mean, it probably doesn't, it's probably younger than the Brook.
Certainly is.
So I suspect, yeah, Biddlesbrook Farm, the family, maybe if, does the thing have a species roller or something like that, or a...
I mean, we can absolutely do that. There are the list of the primary kind of
I can create
we're likely to find, which is, let me find it. Back to the fast quickly. The fast, back to the start quickly. We're gonna flip through slowly and we'll find them. But you know, you've got like your elves, your dwarves, your Steves. What's a Steve?
I mean, what are the most common? So you're gonna have
likely to be humans, halflings, potentially gnomes, elves, dwarves,
half elves.
Half elves, yes. They have a different name, but certainly. But yeah, could also be, you know, some goblins or some kobolds or something like that. Yeah.
Just picking the ones that are the most common or likely to be the most common around here. Less likely to be an orc.
Probably not orc.
Half elf, half thing.
Could have half orcs, but we'll come back to them later.
We'll put half orc in there just in case. We'll put human again. Because there's probably a decent chance that it would be human.
Yeah.
And maybe like half dwarf? Is there a half dwarf?
So like, I mean, there can be half anything, really. Okay. But half elves can be, you know, half elf, half dwarf, or half elf, half human, and so on. So,
okay. Yeah, we'll do that and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and we get
gnome.
Yeah,
you've been gnomed.
Spelled with a G.
Just
and not a K, but
Gnome. You've been Gnome.
I was gonna say there's either the meme. It's fine. Just. Okay, so awesome.
Gnomed. So a family of gnomes.
Yes. So Biddlebrook Farm, been here 4 years, ran by a family of gnomes. Let's have a look at gnomes. Skilled, magic, seeking new experiences. So yeah, makes sense that they're beyond the wall. And a name for this family of gnomes. What could their name be? Loudspring.
Yeah.
Loudspring.
I mean, there is a river that might be described as a spring.
Could
be loud.
I mean, you know, they probably had their name before they settled by the river, but
thematically,
it could be one of those things that maybe they used to live by another river and or spring, and so.
Do we label that as Biddlebrooks Farm? Can I get a label in there? Let's see.
Can you get a label in there? That is the question.
This consistent. I'm just gonna paste something in spam. That's the code for the water.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Color.
Water code.
Because we are gonna go straight to black.
Yeah.
For place names.
Indeed.
This is going to be smaller. That's bigger. Still bigger. That is barely visible. Hello, what's going on there? Oh, well. What is happening there?
I don't know.
Does it not like the full black? It should like the full black.
Hmm.
No, it's just a artifact of how small it is.
Indeed.
I think
would it be worth as would it be worth us scaling the page up to being a 3 or a 2?
I don't know whether that would break everything.
That's something we can look at afterwards. Basically, we'll leave that alone for now.
Mm.
But it might be worth,
yeah,
might be worth looking into. Okay, so we've got one more tile to do for now, because we don't want to keep this going on forever.
Eight,
which is tile number eight. Another wall tile, very likely to be more planes. So yeah. We will move along. Missed the hex crawling page. I went away from it. That is also useful stuff, but that's not stuff we need for right now. That's theology and pantheons. We will come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's building worlds, that's alchemical stuff, that is traits, that is saving throws. Now I feel like we've gone the other way. It was a part of some subsystems, which is beyond all of that stuff. Come on.
Well, that's a bit too red.
Explosion. Right, so nice. That's a 20, which is matched the previous hex. Yeah, more planes. Does it have anything in it?
If it's matching the previous hex, then it's got resources, surely.
Well, no, that's just for the plane type.
Oh, yeah, okay, no, I've got you.
So, so tile 8 is planes, but does contain some kind of secret.
Oh. Secret entrance. Secret tunnel.
That's what I reckon. There is a secret tunnel used by some group or something. But who is the group? That is the question.
Hang on, let me find a secret tunnel.
Secret tunnel.
Actually, having a secret tunnel on the map is probably not a good idea.
Yes.
We will not have a secret tunnel. It might be used by the farmer. Maybe a way to smuggle people beyond the wall. Like, both ways. So people who have had like a bad experience further out in the world but don't have the papers to get back in, maybe could be smuggled through it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have almost all like an underground railway type thing going there. And just as equally, people who don't have the papers who want to go and continue exploring might be taken by maybe like one of the farmer's sons through that secret tunnel out to the farm and then away out into the wilderness.
Okay, so you'll say also help people in need in of and out of the city. Charitable cause kind of idea. So tile 8 therefore is plains holds a secret tunnel created by gnomes . So we'll figure more out about this contraption, how it all works down the line. That leads into a tavern on the other side of the wall.
That tavern could be owned by another member of the family.
Indeed. By another member of the family, and we'll think more about that when we do more on the actual city.
Yes.
But yeah, is there anything else in there though? Because
bit of a stretch
part of the waterfall.
The other side of the waterfall. So you've got the other side of the thing. Nothing really going on with the waterfall. Maybe the tunnel's behind the waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Tunnel is partially behind the waterfall. Okay. But otherwise, I guess you've not really got any reason to go there anyway. If you're going out,
maybe possibly like an encounter of some sort. Could be like a really rare encounter from, because there's a body of water. There's quite a large body of water there.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that one time the party's going through there, something's in the water, and you have to fight that. Other than that, I think tile 8 is really just going to be a transitory tile.
Yeah, it's by the gate. You don't need to do a lot on it there.
Yeah, I mean, most like bandits are not going to come near. Wild animals, I mean, you've got tile 2 and 3 where there's cattle, which is where they'll probably be going, and they're already probably being culled from there. You've got Biddlesville, which will have some defense, a town militia or something.
Mm-hmm.
The woods is the woods, and again, you've got a farm on tile 7, which is going to be protecting its limited amount of livestock. So,
yeah.
In general,
sounds like it's going to be a pretty empty one.
Yeah, I think the only thing that might happen is there might be something that's come down the river, and it's in that.
So that's a good idea. And yeah, with that, we'll leave there. That's how many more do we have now? We've done 6, 7-ish,
and 8.
So, as in, we've done 7-ish total tiles.
Yes. Oh, we've done seven tiles total.
Yeah, we've done 1, 2, 3,
13 technically.
4, 5, 6. Which is... True, we did do 13. So we've still got how many 8. More? So we've technically done 8. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more. Okay. Yeah. So about halfway, we did another preamble at the start.
I need to shift the wall probably into 17 because 17 is supposed to be a wall tile.
Yes.
Unless you want 18 to be the wall tile, and then we have an additional tile for 17.
Let's push the wall forward a bit, I reckon.
Okay.
Into 17 through 22. But we'll leave that there. So yeah, we'll try and actually record this and then put it up. This is an interesting one because this stuff is Cacastia is kind of our cabin cast game, but a lot of this is linking more to my other YouTube channel, Revelo GM Games. So when we do record this, I'm not sure where it'll go. It might go up in there, but we will put the link in the description of the podcast episode. Yeah, hopefully next time we'll have a bit more of a concurrent plan.
I think
if you found this interesting.
I think every Saturday try and work on the tile until we get all the tiles done, and then maybe even record the session.
We'll try and do that, absolutely. And yeah, if I think the sessions get to a place that I'm happy with, we will do that. But yeah, for now, we'll leave this episode here. So thank you for listening, and we will see you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Cabincast. For more episodes, go to www.cabincast.podbean.com or use the Podbean app. You can now also find us on iTunes and Pocket Casts under Cabincast and on YouTube. There are photos here on my behind. Finally, you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/cabincast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. I'm sorry.